CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday, the 21st of November, winding down to December. Welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, brought to you by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. I got Chad and Teppo in the studio with me this morning. Gents, how's it going?
The year's over, bro.
Yes,
no, 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 it's still no. This Thursday.
Yeah. Chad said it the other day. Like, you can see the weekend.
You can see the weekend, but
it's just not there. Just yet.
If you had planned on doing anything for the year and you still haven't begun, No.
Game over.
You're out.
Kill
the engine, park the car, and go home.
That New Year's resolution. If you haven't even, sort of started it now, it's too late.
You're not salvaged. 2017.
Yeah, but you already moved it from 2015.
Yeah.
Hey, such is life. People keep moving stuff. If you had planned on fixing the car, getting that old vintage and fixing, and you haven't even bought it or started.
Hey, quiet you.
Quiet you, yeah.
Talking about I said I was going to have it up and running by June.
Like, I wasn't actually talking to you, but I mean, hey, the guilty I always,
The shoe fits, so I'm just going to lace it up and wear it.
Lace it up and wear it. You have to wear it. Talking about fixing things. So this morning,
I
get out of the house nice and early and I'm on the scooter. And I'm not a mechanically
inclined kind of guy. I mean, you're a model. I mean, please log on at TD Woods 01 and see what this boy looks like.
No, man, bullshit.
No, hold on, give me a chance here. Because my wife, when I chat, I'm going to dye you a darker shade. No, darker shade is going to make you even worse.
Does she want me to be?
I don't know. She just loves you, and it's a problem, this thing, Chan. You must never come to my house. Why do you think the last gig we went to Kailima declined?
Okay. You only arrived after I left.
I was like, suddenly she rocks this very short jumpsuit. I'm like, baby, what's going on? She says, no, but we'll be hanging with Ty. I'm like, who's Ty? Since when do you call him Ty? Like, what's going on here?
That's very nice, eh? Nice to get a compliment.
Nice my ass.
Monday morning. Thanks very much.
Anyway, you're in the scooter, yeah?
07651 10111. So anyway, so I'm on the scooter, right? Yeah. And I'm bombing it along, and I'm in my little neighborhood, very comfortable. And the next thing, my scooter starts making a different sound. Now, scooters are only supposed to sound like one thing. They're high-pitched
and constant.
So now I'm driving, and this thing now changes its sound. So anyway, I pull off at the nearest garage, and I've kind of got an idea because I've heard this noise before, and I've had a look. And basically what happens is where my exhaust attaches to the
engine. Would have been to the cylinder head,
To the cylinder head, you see. I don't know what that thing's called.
You need a head to know the cylinder head.
Where the bolts go onto those things that come out, where that attaches to that thing.
Mm, your gesture's wrong, bro.
So anyway,
gestures very wrong.
So those
the hand gestures happening in the studio.
I'll have you know.
So this freaking scooter's now making a different noise, and it's louder. And I'm happy to ride a scooter, but I don't want a scooter that makes a hell of a noise, because then you start attracting people.
Attention. That's unnecessary.
So anyway, now I'm driving along and I'm well aware. So I've stopped at a garage. I can see that the nut's loose. So I've tried to tighten it with my hands. I don't have spanners, because scooters don't have a boot, so you can't keep a toolbox in the bloody thing. So anyway, I could put a number 10 in the scooter for just in case.
It's
called a Leatherman.
Yeah. So now this thing is howling with me on my way. This is this morning, bud, on the studio. And I come down, I think it's Coleraine Avenue, as you're coming up towards Rivonia. And there's this old white man in his gown outside his fancy freaking complex. And I'm driving,
thinking, here comes Rossi.
Yeah, no, exactly, bud. It sounds, when you take an outboard motor of a speedboat and you take the lid off and it makes that bang, 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 that sound like that. So this is what I sound like coming down Coleraine. And here's this old white guy with his arms crossed in his gown. I'm surprised he didn't have a cup of coffee, and he's got his arms folded. And the next thing, he just looks at me and he shakes his head. And I'm sitting there going, you son of a bitch. Do not think I know that there's something wrong with this thing. And then I so anyway, I shrugged my shoulders at him, and I look at him, and I shrugged my shoulders as the gesture to go like, "What's your problem?" So he looks at me and he points to his ears and he shakes his head like that scooter is making such a noise. And I wanted to stop the scooter, get off, run across the road, and say, "Listen, dude. It happened this morning while I was traveling to work. What do you want me to do about it?" So anyway, I stopped at a super quick. I borrowed a number 10 spanner. Now it sounds beautiful again. But listen, I don't think people believe me. Listen to this.
Now you went.
Yo.
Is it on?
Yes.
There we go.
Now it's a phone now, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Naomi, what's happening here?
No, the poor old man.
Cable's giving dodge there.
That's just idling. You don't want to be driving through town with that sound. Really. So anyway, to that old man that...
You went about things all the wrong way.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, what should I have done?
Happy Monday, bro.
What you actually should have done was... I mean, you knew it was a problem.
Yes.
You saw him there. You acknowledged that, okay, yeah. Listen, here is a bit of an issue. Here is a little bit of a conflict with this gentleman.
Yes,
he clearly doesn't like the something noise. About that's happening here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were quite correct in stopping there by him.
Yeah.
Okay. You wanted to stop there by him.
You ran past.
Okay. Yeah. And you wanted to basically defuse the situation.
And just say, listen, I'm so sorry that my scooter made a noise when
it
drove past
you. Dude,
you'd
already dug the hole. Yeah. Stop there. And call your mean burnout. And go. He's not going to chase you.
Well, when I did stop my scooter on the side of the road, I watched him run to his gate.
You're offended. Wait, I'm only getting warmed up here. Yeah. This is really going to piss you off.
Yeah, I'm going to get into your complex and park my scooter outside your
road
front door.
Road rage between a pedestrian
and a rider.
Yeah. Hey, like, what's wrong with you, bro?
Those of us old enough to know, this sounds like a script from a Benny Hill show.
You know?
Yes. You know? And I was embarrassed because, you know, you know, it's not nice when those things make those noises.
So anyway. From a short clip called The Riding with Ty.
Riding with Ty. All 22 seconds of it. Yeah, like this, the biggest popcorn machine on the planet. Hell.
I like when he gestures to his ears.
Yeah,
like, you're killing my old ears. Yeah. You said, your ears are dead already.
So anyway, yeah. So, chaps, I don't know if you've seen in the news, but you see that there's been a law that's been passed, obviously in America, because it always happens there first. But they want hybrid and electric cars to make a noise.
Mm. Hallelujah!
I can understand why.
Yeah, yes, me too. Yeah, we must hear this car because have you seen pedestrians with their earplugs onto the phone and just walking?
Oh yeah, when they're walking with their headsets.
But when I was at school, they look
zombies.
Left, look right, and look left again.
Yeah,
but
you were at school. Yeah. Millennials though are the ones walking around with their earbuds in, and they ain't hearing squats. They're on their own world.
Actually, they don't care. Until they get bumped.
But you can't change that. I mean, if the guy's got headphones on with music playing, whether the car sounds like my scooter or not, he's not going to hear it.
No, but you see, it must be low. When you're a pedestrian, look, when you're chilling in a bus, riding somewhere, or in a car.
No, you can't.
Because guys, it's dangerous, man.
It is, but it's common sense and it's education, I think.
Listen
to it. And listen to it at a level that is just not going to drown out your ambience.
Now, can you imagine? Here you are listening at a nice level, and here comes this electric silent car. And you are absent-minded.
No, that's absolutely
what's going to happen?
No, listen. But listen, you can be just an ordinary hearing person without listening to music or anything of
the
sort.
And the silent thing just rocks up.
Yeah, and the silent thing just rocks up, and it can be a problem. We already sit with this issue.
But
how many times have you seen an emergency vehicle caught behind somebody who's not watching their mirrors because they've got the music blaring?
Yeah.
They haven't heard the siren. Yes. The siren's sitting on the back of them. If he's listening to hip-hop, he just thinks it's part of the track.
Yeah.
But
no, but you're right, Chad. And I think as pedestrians, as drivers, as people who commute, we've switched off to the universe.
True. We want to switch off.
True.
That's our little, and that's one of the big issues that we've got with motoring and driving in and around Joburg is the fact that as soon as we close the door on this little tin box,
we are
invincible. Yeah. This is my little bubble.
Yeah.
Don't you dare encroach on my space. And this is why we sit with the road rage that we have, is because we've got the sense of entitlement.
Mm.
Hey, I'm protected now. I'm now invincible. It's short penis syndrome for everybody, whether you've got one or not.
Hey.
No, it really is. It's just that feeling
listen,
of
I'm a short
inadequacy.
Guy, please, the last thing you want to be an example of
is that feeling of inadequacy that we feel that we need to now defend the space around us, our place on the road, and we have every right to be where we are. We pay our rates and taxes and are paid. Instead of just, you know, grafting together. I mean, I've waxed lyrical about this before.
No, exactly.
But it's...
So, in short...
We want to... You don't need to live in that little bubble. You need to be... I think more people need to, A, be on bikes and need to drive convertibles.
And so very bright cars.
I'm gonna run for president. And
there we go.
And that's what
you got
I'm
my vote.
Going to...
You got my vote.
Minister of Transport. And I'm going to make convertibles. I'm gonna give them, I think, a big sort of rebate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, almost like a subsidized purchase on a convertible.
Viva!
Yeah. Bikes for all. Rebates on convertibles.
Yeah, no tax if you ride a scooter.
Vote for Chad, 2020.
There we go.
Now, what kind of sound are they making for these electrical cars?
Well, I don't know.
I'm actually quite curious.
Yeah.
Are they going to mimic an internal combustion gasoline motor sort of rumble? Because, I mean, that doesn't sound great either, you know, on the average. If they could make them sound all like...
V-something.
Yeah, like a nice big V8 or a nice V12.
Now they're talking.
Hey, engineer a good sound.
Now they're talking.
Yes. They need to sound like quad rotors. Have you heard of quad
rotor?
A quad rotor.
No.
Mazda 767B. Okay, it was a quad rotor race car. Oh, it is a beautiful sound. Okay, but even just a nice V8. So let's go with the rumble of a nice, well-piped Chev Lumina.
Eish!
Hey, it gets your attention.
Let me tell you.
You hear that rumble coming down the road? You actually look for
you it. You pay it, yes. You're like, where's it coming from?
So
where's
it's not just you're aware of it. You're actually actively looking for it. So you make
you engage with that sound. Yeah, man.
Sound really good. You make it sound like this.
Here comes ice cream man.
An ice cream truck could work. I'm not going to lie.
No.
I think all electric cars should be fitted with the ice cream van soundtrack.
No, depress us,
listen,
bro.
No, that is painful at best. I'm going to see if I can find a sound of that quad rotor, because I mean that's something special.
That's see, just... now that's when you're gonna that you'll get that old man showing gesturing to his ears when you hear something like that. But our kids are gonna go mad. Do you understand?
Yeah, kids will go mad if they
can you imagine
if every electric car sounds like an ice cream van.
Can you imagine 2035 in South Africa, all taxis are fitted with that kind of sound and they're hooting all day long.
Oh my god! Can you unpack that story for me? Because I've got a theory on that, right?
Yeah.
So. The taxi stops on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of passengers who are about maybe 1.5 km down the road.
Yeah.
The taxi will park there and he will pump his hooter for days. And I sit and I go, surely if people wanted to get in your taxi, they would put up their hands and then you just go and fetch them.
No, let me break it down to you. It's called the law of persuasion. He knows that those people want to have like one more chat or finish their smoke before he... So he's like saying, hurry up, finish your puff. So by the time I get there, it's time to get into the car.
Oh, so it's like an early warning signal.
Yeah, it's like, look at me, come pick my car. Say your goodbyes, kiss quickly and
I've
finish your smoke. Cause, yeah,
I've seen that.
Yeah,
because
that's what it is.
It's just a guy waltzing and he doesn't look like he's actually waiting. The guy's walking. He's going somewhere.
So he must wake him up.
He's doing something in that, and he doesn't seem like he's actually looking. I can't say for sure, but it doesn't seem as if he's actually actively looking to catch a taxi or anything of the sort. But one will come along and give it the obligatory ba ba ba.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy sort of you sort of see the change in his face, like, I may as well. The power of persuasion
is
like
it is,
dude. You didn't. I'm telling you now. You actually didn't budget for this.
No.
But you've been guilted into it.
Yeah.
Or he's just
straight through your cloak and daggers.
It was just saying, pitch here.
I'm going to shut this oak up and just get into his
exactly.
Taxi,
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, listen, dude, I'm having this casual stroll here. I feel absolute rocks. I was minding my own business. I'm enjoying the sunshine. And here you come with this hooter. The only way I'm going to stop you making a noise by actually climbing
just,
in.
Yeah, let me just get in. And then the next passenger comes through. But it's funny when they like overtake you and they spot the passenger on the
there's anchors in front of you.
And then he cuts in front of you. And he
hypertension.
Like, the nice ones will just chuck his hand out to say he apologized, but looking the other way.
Oh, yes. No. Won't make eye contact. He will not, because he knows that the guy is going to come past him. The guy who is in such a rush is only going to do 5 kilometers an hour past him, like less than walking speed, and is going to give him that death stare.
Yeah, and then
he he's not going to make eye contact though. No,
look the other way, show a gesture.
No, I really am sorry, but I'm going to pretend to have a conversation on the side, off to my left.
You know what my brother says? My brother says that gesture is more like, I'm sorry, bastard.
Yeah.
He says that's what it means. I mean, how does he cut in front of you, wave the I'm sorry hand, but look the other way?
Yeah.
It's like saying, ah, piss off, sorry, man.
Yeah, I'm just doing it to share.
Yeah, I'm almost shutting you up. It's almost got a little condescending in that sense. Wish. But
anyway.
But persuasion works, eh? It works, trust me.
I've seen it work. Yeah. I've seen it in action, and I think it really does work. So I think, I'm all for them putting, you know, sounds into these vehicles.
Not because, the
They've got until 2019 to do it. That's the law that's been passed now.
Well, there's going to be so many that are actually going to make their way onto the road. I fly down to Cape Town at cheapest Sparrow's Fort tomorrow morning again, which is going to be way fun. But to drive the new BMW 740e. So, I mean, we've waxed lyrical about the BMW 7 Series. Yeah. In fact, the BMW 7 Series video that we were talking about with the whole chauffeur drive and that sort of thing, drops today.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yes.
So log on to Autotrader's YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's going to be shared on the social media and that as well. But in light of that, and just coincidentally, I'm flying down to go and drive the hybrid one. So that's a PHEV, which is a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. So it works the same way as the BMW i8. I had that X5 as well. The hybrids, yes, they can run. And I had instances where I drove all the way from my house to the office and I didn't use a drop of fuel. And I didn't make a noise. The loudest thing there was me closing the door. And you can drive all the way on electric. And it is. It's actually so peaceful. And I'm wondering now, you take a 7 Series, how good is that going to be in full golf cart mode? Because that's essentially
what it is. Yeah, actually.
It's full golf cart mode.
Yeah.
You put the foot down and it just...
hums off into the distance.
I can tell you now, you're not even going to hear the 7 Series hum.
Maybe what they should do is put speakers on the outside of vehicles.
It needs to be on the outside.
So that you can actually play your music inside and out. So the So the pedestrian doesn't have to have his headphones in his ear and he can just listen to what you play. I'm just putting it out.
Have you turned on to a pop station recently and heard the top 40? I do not want to hear the top 40.
No, you have to be listening to your own tunes.
Look, all I can say is yo. That's all I can say. Can you imagine people are going to customize those sounds coming out of that? No, bro. Even with electric car sounds,
whether you want to or not, you're going to be listening to the guy's mixtape.
Yes.
Mixtape, I can understand. Yeah. Some will record their conversation with their girlfriends or just one of that. No, guys, please. No. Can you imagine? We'll be broadcasting our show and playing it as a car.
Yeah.
Hey, that's an idea.
Auto Central goes mobile.
Yeah.
That's an idea, hey?
Literally. Yeah.
So just another thing that I want to touch on. I see they've just released the stats for the highest number of, the number of sports cars that were sold
in South Africa.
In South Africa in the month of October.
I was reading that one as well.
And sports.
This is stuff that I'm really curious about. So, I mean, I think we'll go through it. What do we have here? We've got the top. Well, there's actually a list here.
The top 10.
Okay. We'll start from 10. We work our way down. But I just want to preempt that quickly and just put this into sort of context here, quick time, is that you need to take a look at the numbers.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Because of the economy and that sort of thing, the vehicle sales are, as a whole, down.
Vehicle sales are down.
A vehicle sales portal. We're a marketing portal, Autotrader. Yeah. And so we're constantly involved with the buying and selling.
Mm. Yes.
Now, NAMSA is the National Association of Automobile Manufacturers of South Africa, NAMSA, says that the South African new vehicle market continues to show poor local sales. Okay. Yeah. So October 2016, the complete vehicle sales came in at 48,745 units, which sounds like a fair number, you know.
Yeah.
Let's round it off, say 49,000 units, okay? But that's a decline of 5,500.
Yes. Is that month on month or year on year?
Over last year.
Over last year.
That's a 10.1%
decrease.
Decline, yeah.
But I just also think if you look at the taxes that we pay on vehicles, I mean that
the taxes are not terrible, hey, compared to other places in the world.
No, so I'm not really I still think we get shafted on car prices.
Ours comes in, our prices are high. Listen, our prices are high, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Largely due to import. Too high, yes, but...
But not over the... Well, listen.
Thankfully, in a way. Can you imagine if vehicle prices were half the price? How much more traffic would we have? It's going to be so many more people.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so... You want to re-
money, is that the reason that they keep the car the price so high?
That's one of the parts of the tax is to try and dissuade people from purchasing, and that, you know,
too often.
Too often. You know, so they new vehicles, putting too many vehicles on the road, and that it's massively convoluted. Okay, if I really do want to run for Minister of Transport and that in 2020,
you're not going
to
give us convertibles anymore.
I'm really going to no.
He's going back on his word, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Convertibles stay. Convertibles remain. I will grab it by the convertible.
We're about to lose my vote there.
No. But I'm just going to have to do a lot more research into the public transport sector, carpooling and that sort of thing to alleviate congestion. Nobody likes congestion. Yeah. Nobody likes sitting in traffic. You want to drive. You want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's a bit of a scary number. They did forecast that it was going to drop like this, and we're going to have to see how things, you know, change. But you know what the thing is, and looking at this list, the fact of the matter is people are still buying cars, and they're buying expensive cars. Because, I mean, what is the sports car? The sports car is pretty much being gauged as a million rand car.
A little
bit cheaper.
A fast car that costs you more than a bar.
Well, the definition of a sports car is ideally a two-door, possibly a four-seater, but predominantly a two-seater sports vehicle, not only used for recreation but for use on the road. Okay.
Well, let's fly through this list quickly here. So I see in 10th place, there was one Audi R8 sold.
That's in 11th place. One unit. And, Wade Vernikak, congratulations on making
the list. He didn't buy the car.
He didn't buy it either. Audi registered it. It was a new car.
Yeah.
So is it his complete, like it's in his name, it's his?
Yeah, no, he's been through the training and the whole works. And I actually got to spend some time with the guy. And he said, no, they're putting him through the advanced driving training and all that sort of stuff. Wade Vernikak, so... Really, really cool. He's stoked about it. He's lank happy.
Just for running, Chan, eh?
Oh, no.
No, but listen, running the way that the boy does. And man, proper hard.
I'm a little heartful with this country, really, you know? Because, do you know how many times and how fast I ran away from those Kespers in the townships, Chan? I could be given so many.
Yeah, but nobody was timing you.
Yeah, I know.
No, you run with your stopwatch and then send it to the
sector. Why do you think I have? When say people, when people say, let's go jog, I'm like, I've been running all my life. Yeah. Why must I run when there are cars?
No. What's chasing me?
And
in number 11,
yeah, 11 the Audi, in number 10.
Number 10. Yeah. Okay, well, the Audi comes in at 2.7 to 3 million. Okay, we're going to give you some of the prices here just to show you the sort of money that is floating and changing.
That's
hands
one Audi R8 in October.
Yes.
Okay. There was one 2.7. F12 Ferrari F12. Okay, that's one of those price and application. If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's one of those.
Unless if you're Patrice Motsepe. I mean, how much is it?
I don't know.
It's pricey. It's pricey. It's one of those you have to ask. You're on the wrong. You're on the wrong side of 10.
10 bar.
If I'm not mistaken,
for a two-seater.
Yeah, but it's an F12 Ferrari.
In South Africa.
Yeah.
Nah, man, some things must be put in context.
Anyway, we got
Cell phones are good money, hey?
Yeah, we're going to
imagine you owned, like, let's say, I don't know, a Chet Cellular or something of the sorts.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. moving on swiftly. Hey, coming in at number 9, surprisingly enough, 2 Alfa Romeo 4Cs.
Yeah.
And that's a pricey because a little 4-cylinder turbocharged Alfa Romeo, it is whimsical at best, but apparently a cracking car to drive. I haven't had a chance to drive one. Two of those changed hands. So,
and
well
priced
done.
At about 1.3 million.
Yeah,
in 8th place, the Ferrari California T, also, you know, price on application. Two units of those. In 7th place.
So, excuse me, when you say price on application,
means you have to ask.
Yeah, because, and I also think they'll spec those cars according to what the driver wants. So I don't think it's just a
stop-standard,
take it as you go, you know?
And then you wait for it, I suppose.
Yeah,
definitely. Ah, okay. Yeah. All right.
In 7th place, Porsche 911.
You're looking at 4.3 for the California T.
You win.
There we go.
Hey, boy.
Two units of those. In 6th place, the Ferrari 488 GTB. Also, P08, two units.
Yeah, now I can't put a price on that one here. I'm actually just doing a little bit of...
I like the FF. Ferrari.
In 5th place, the Ferrari 488 Spider. Three units of that sold. Four Nissan GTRs.
Sure.
And that's in fourth place. And those go between 1.9 and 2
okay,
million.
Okay, but listen, that's now a tricky one because the GTR did only release recently.
Okay.
Okay, remember it was launched at Festival of Motoring.
Yeah.
And they had limited numbers coming into South Africa.
So it probably could have sold.
It could have been more.
But anyway, it could have been more, and we know that they've got orders for a lot more. Okay. But this is all they received.
That's so they obviously registered.
And the PR for the GTR was quite good at the motor show.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, they had a fantastic stand, hey?
In third place, the BMW i8, priced at 1.9 million. 8 units sold.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple.
Yeah, a couple of them floating
around. And I've seen more than 8 floating around.
Yeah, you've seen them floating around, but that was 8 sold in 1 month.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, I mean, that's not bad numbers for a hybrid vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well done, yeah.
But it looks good, especially from the back.
I get to drive one again tomorrow.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Shame.
Well, the 7 Series.
Where do we meet again,
Chad? The 7 Series, I've got space in my bag. The 7 Series uses the same technology that's in the i8.
Okay.
And my i8 video was pretty much saying that, you know what, it's very much like the first iPhone.
Yeah.
In that, you know, it does a lot of things, but it's not perfect. You're not going to Bluetooth, files to your mate because, well, it doesn't have Bluetooth. But as it goes along, the technology is going to improve, and that's what we've seen because we've seen 5 Series Hybrid, X5, or well, 5 Series Hybrid's coming, actually. We're seeing X5 Hybrid. We're seeing now 7 Series Hybrid. We've got 5 Series coming. There was supposed to be 3 Series as well, plug-in, and it all uses the same technology and the same principle as what goes on in the BMW i8. That was just the groundbreaker.
That's universal.
I mean, I think it's a proper car, and it was great. It was fantastic, and it's good to see BMW putting the sort of energy behind hybrid motoring. And the ranges are just getting better and better and better on a full charge. The charge times are coming down, and the ranges are getting longer, and that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first couple of motor vehicles, I mean, the first couple of cars as well, had terrible fuel consumption. It had, like a Model T, made like 5 horsepower.
Yeah, but remember those
But from revs. A 2.9-litre motor, it only revved to 900 RPM, and you had a range of maybe 5 kilometres. It was terrible in terms of its efficiency. But things have improved.
They revved like someone's scooter this morning.
Yes.
No, that scooter was revving, eh? Ask an uncle in the gun.
Uncle G.
He's probably still venting. Bloody bastard on his scooter.
That oak is naughty, eh?
Yeah.
Exactly. Easy on the opener. Easy.
That's in at 3.
Yeah, that's in
at
3.
In at 2. Yep. Very surprising, hey? Jaguar F-Type. I don't want to say surprising. The numbers surprise me that they've moved as many as they have. Not because it's a bad car or anything, but it's just that it's a bit of a left field choice going for the F-Type. In 1 month, they moved 11 cars.
Wow.
11 F-Types were sold.
Wow.
So it comes in between 1 and 2.3 million rand. Impressive car. Impressive car, and it seems to be, well...
I don't see myself in the... I mean, for my size and my lifestyle...
Yeah. Me, I battle with Jaguar. I think I'd hesitantly buy a second one.
Yeah.
Had one. Who am I kidding? I still got it. Can't get rid of it.
And then in first place?
First place, the Porsche 718 Cayman and the Boxster. So they're combined. That's two models combined.
Okay.
So it's the 718, which is either in Cayman trim, which is your hardtop, or your Boxster in your soft-top convertible, your roadster sort of, well, yeah, your drop-top. 17 units, but it is your entry point into Porsche ownership.
Yes, okay.
Okay, and so the prices start there a little bit lower, and you can get into one for just over 700,000 Rand, which, if you think about it, is 100,000 Rand more than a Golf R.
And you drive on a Porsche.
But then you're in a Porsche.
Yeah.
So Porsche has never come in there, and they've never really, while many people pitch them up against Lamborghini and Ferrari and that, Porsche has always maintained a sports car for the working man sort of approach. And they do. And if you think of the way that prices go and what people spend on vehicles, 700,000 Rand is...
Yeah, but now the comparison between the R and the Porsche, when you rock up in any township in this country, in China, in an R...
Oh, yeah, no. I can imagine.
In any township in an R.
Vrpa.
Yes. Hey, yes. Yeah, you.
Cool, So
I'm working on it. I'm getting my visa.
Yeah, I know.
There's definitely some money out there.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And there are guys who can throw it around.
Mm. You don't want to know what the state of the condition of his house. But
no, exactly.
That's another one.
That is another one. But anyway, listen, I wanted to ask you quickly. Chad and I were chatting this morning, and we're obviously getting into December time. People are planning holidays and road trips and all that kind of stuff that we've spoken about. For you, when is the best time to get onto the road?
For a long trip.
For a long
early
trip.
Early hours, bro.
Is that
no,
you?
Yeah. No, but what constitutes early hours?
Okay. Look, it depends where you're going. If you,
all right, let's
if,
say we're
if gonna, you're going to do like a 9-hour drive.
Let's say right? We're going to do...
Cape Town.
Cape Town, you know, Cape Town's like that 12 to 14 hours slog, which is a bit long, you know, so it's going to take a whole day no matter what you do whenever you leave. I would say that 8.
Like you're going to the Transcar, let's say.
7,
that,
8. Yeah.
You're in sort for of 7, between 7 and 9, depending on how many stops you have.
South Coast.
Yeah.
Look, and early hour, by when you hit the road at like 4.
Mm hmm.
Ne?
Yeah.
Okay. You can chill
like an hour and a half before
sunrise. Yeah.
Good time.
You know, that's a bit, and then you can stop wherever, have your nice breakfast. Exactly. That's a good rest.
Yeah. And you're ahead of the pack. You see, I'm on the same page. Yes. Yeah. I'm awake up early. Yeah. Pack the car the night before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wake up in the morning, grab that first cup of coffee, and you're on the road. And it's still dark, but the road's quiet.
Yeah.
You're at the 2-hour mark. You're starting to pick up possibly a little bit of sunrise.
Correct.
And there where you like, okay, getting 2 hours into it, the sun's coming up. You'd ordinarily be waking up. You can stop and take that breather, and you're still in routine. Yes. You know, okay, I can grab a bite to eat. I can, you know, have a cup of coffee.
But then you were saying there's people like Lawrence who are
Lawrence is one of those. You know, he's going to kids and do what you need to do. We're leaving 9 o'clock, 8, 9 o'clock
at night.
He's one of those that likes driving through the night.
Yeah.
So if he does a long trip down to Cape Town and that, or you know, he gets there and he's there early morning, then he's going to go and have like a morning or mid-morning or whatever
nap,
or
one
an afternoon nap
up,
if it's like a Cape Town one or something of the sorts.
That's
but
also
the
an
kids
idea,
have
huh?
slept for most of it because they were up. So load them in the car. I know you described.
They'll probably sleep at by 10. They'll already be sleeping in the car.
No, they
kids
almost
will sleep like,
sleep
in the
like
car.
That. You haven't even made the highway or on ramp, and they're asleep, and they sleep most of the way, and you're pushing through. I'm not a big one for that because I don't like doing too long a distance, and especially on a straight road without turns and that at night. I'm concerned about fatigue.
Unless if you're well rested, that's why concern is fatigue, Jeff.
I'm not advocating it, but let me put it this way. Let me just put it into context. I would rather drive drunk. I don't advocate it, and you should never drive under the influence of alcohol.
100%.
And I don't do that. I would rather drive drunk than drive tired.
It's true, hey. It's true. No, fatigue is
that's
dangerous.
That's how serious I regard fatigue.
Yeah. But I think there are people who can, obviously, you know, they are night people, and staying awake is not an issue. I'm not one of those. So I'm an early morning person.
Look, regardless of when you drive, if you're well rested, you've got a plus already.
Exactly.
You know what the concern is? And we mentioned it as well. It also depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
So if I take a trip out to Mpumalanga or something like that, you know, you're heading out Kruger, or you're heading Maputo, Swazi, or something of the sorts. Leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning is not a good idea.
Yes, because when that sun comes out,
it's in your eyes, and you're hitting like a Middleburg sort of stretch in that, and you're like, maybe this was a bad idea. Yeah. So those, I would say, those are the...
You can leave sunset after 12.
Hit it at 11, 12 in the day. And then let the sun set behind you.
Yeah.
Okay.
When do you think the masses leave?
But it does make you, and this is what a lot of people also don't think about, is driving in these dusk and dawns, these twilight hours, all good and well, you have the sun behind you, but now there's somebody in front of you
that can't see you.
That's got the sun in their eyes.
Eish.
Okay. So, yes.
You need to be extra,
You need to be vigilant for what they're doing. Yeah. You need to be aware that they can't see. You can see them. The sun's on
them. Because when they check in the mirror, all they see is a beautiful sun.
Mm.
No, it's right in front of them. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing the sun in the mirror. Oh, it's beautiful. It's lekker. Yeah. But they've got the sun in their eyes, so they can't really see you coming.
Mean people going the opposite direction?
People coming the opposite direction can't see you coming.
I see.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think what we're saying is, you know, make sure you're well rested.
Yeah.
Leave at an appropriate time that suits you.
Be mindful
and
of the sun.
And suits your destination.
And suits your destination.
Suits your destination. Exactly. Plan this. I mean, there's SunCalc.
Mm.
SunCalc.
Yeah.
SunCalc is a website, and you can go there and you can put in your location. It works very similar to Google Maps.
Okay.
But that will give you the path of the sun at that time of the year. So you'll be able to see what time you're going to be, where's the sun going to be at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Am on that stretch of road, am I going to be driving into the sun or whatever? Use it. I use it for planning shoots because lighting is very important when you do a video shoot.
Yeah.
But that works brilliantly when you're planning a route as well. Okay, the sun's going to be from there to there, and if I hit that point, a little bit of rough calculation as to where you think you're going to be at whatever time, and you can plan a nice, safe trip. And the nice thing about it is, if it is safe, you're getting there more relaxed.
True.
Less stressed, less anxious. Yeah. You know, and that's the way you want to start your holiday because, hey, the holiday starts the moment you turn the key.
Exactly, 100%. So when we come back, we're going to be chatting about the new Sportage, the new Kia Sportage that Chad's driving at the moment. And we'll catch you after this break.
Talking Tech on Auto Central. Headline news and reviews on Auto Central.
Did I turn myself right off? Sorry. Let's try it again. Right, we're back. Let's chat about Chad's ride of the week. Chad, what are you driving at the moment, bud?
Well, last week, it was last week's car. At the moment, I'm actually sitting in a Nissan Qashqai.
Okay.
But last week, I was sitting with the Kia Sportage, and it is the new Sportage. And I must say, I'm actually very, very impressed with it.
Well, having previously owned a Sportage, we were pleasant. It was the first time we got out of a traditional South African kind of brand and into Korean, huh?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
Korean,
it's a
yeah,
Korean
yeah,
brand.
Korean brand, yeah.
And we were blown away. It wasn't the first Sportage that ever came out, but I absolutely loved that car.
And then we got
because what generation is this now then?
I was actually just wanting
is
to find
three?
Out.
I think,
I'm thinking it's third generation.
Yeah, I think generation three.
I did it. I mean, I've sat here and I've been speaking about it all week, but I've already written it out of my mind.
I don't know. I think it's three.
No, because we got into the second, and I think we got into the third. And this new one is off the last one's platform, obviously. But anyway, fantastic cars. We've owned one and I've driven them, and they are really, really, really nice cars. Really, really cool. So, Chad, I'm interested to see what you've got to say about it, because I saw it standing in the car park.
It is the fourth generation.
Yeah,
it is the fourth, but I think it's the third for South Africa.
Yeah, you see.
What's your name again? What's your name again?
And it just looked the part.
The thing is, it's got very polarizing looks. Either you like it or you don't. It's a bit Audi TT in that sense. You know, the first Audi TT.
Mm.
Like, many of the people that I spoke to said, I don't like what they've done with it. I think it looks goofy and gangly and, you know, it almost looks like a Nissan Juke. And when I looked at it, I first saw it signing, you know, so I saw that profile of it and I was like, that's not bad, but it's much of a muchness. It's
a big small car.
There's Tucson in there. There's, you know, the rest of its competitors is right there, you know. It's the same sort of...
But aren't they all... I mean, cars are becoming all like that now.
There is a lot. There's a lot of I don't want to say concept sharing, but general design architecture sharing. Design cue sharing. And this one is, of course, designed by Peter Schreyer. And Peter Schreyer is known for stuff like Audi TT. So it makes sense that there is slightly different. Yeah. Him and Luke Donkervolker are the head designers up at Hyundai and Kia, which are, you know, sister companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been responsible for Lamborghini Gallardo, Lamborghini Murcielago, Audi TT, VW Millennium Bug, you know, so they've done all of these. And you're seeing a couple of similar traits between the Hyundai and the Kia offerings, which naturally would. It's coming from the same design studio. But this one is quite a radical departure. But I really, really like it. But you can see the German influence.
You like what it can do, what it looks like?
I like the way that it looks. I mean, just take a look at that front end of it there. Just grab your eyes.
Yes, the front ends are quite...
The front end has got that typical Kia, what they call the tiger nose. So that's the tiger nose section, just showing Seb's over here. Yeah. So, you know, it's a big open grille. Yeah. It's pinched in the center. It's a bit of a bow tie sort of look to it. But they've now separated that from the headlights, where they were all on one plane.
Yeah.
On the older Sportages, you had the grille with the headlights off to the side of it. They've now put the headlights above it. So you've got this actual nose and actual headlights. And they've pulled those headlights back as well. And just that front quarter, and especially when you've got this black air vent where the fog light is and that little bit of detailing there, reminds me very much of a Porsche Cayenne.
So true.
I'm seeing Porsche Cayenne in those lights. You know, and just the projector, the HID headlights is just making it look very German in that approach. So there's a bit of Porsche there. I'm seeing a bit of Jaguar F-Pace in that as well.
Hmm.
You know, so there's a couple of, I don't want to say copycat, but...
Mixed breeds.
I'm not going to say it's a pavement special, you know, a mongrel. No, not at all. I really like the way that it's styled. At the back, neat, tidy, very, very elegant. Actually looking, for the lack of a better term, very premium. You know, it just looks really, really good, really elegant. It looks sophisticated.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. The interior design has also changed a bit. The previous outgoing third-generation Sportage had a dashboard that was, and an interior design that was very vertical. You know, so things, lines ran up and down, up and down. And it gave almost this impression of like a wardrobe. If I can put it into sort of, or a bookcase. You know, we've got a bookcase here in front of us here, but it was very up and down, you know, up and down lines and that. Whereas the new one, they've actually consciously made it long and flat and wide. So now it's got a little more of a, you know, a side table sort of credenza.
Is it
sort
seeming
of
wide or it is wide?
It is fairly wide, you know, in the interior. There's fantastic space in the interior.
Oh, good.
Really, really good space in the interior. It doesn't feel cramped at all. All the materials, the touch and feel of the materials, all wonderful. Wonderful, really. I couldn't fault that interior trim. It was really, really good. Pleasant. they've also separated it into two distinct different areas. So you've got a what they call a control area, which is now where all your buttons next sit, which is the lower half of the dash. And there's a clean sort of line break in the center of the dash that sort of just lets you know that there's a visual aspect to it as well. All your controls are below that line, where your infotainment screen and then, of course, all your gauges and everything sit above that line. So it's actually quite intuitive and a very clever way to have done it. They've still included a couple of the traditional sort of upright air vents, which will be familiar to previous Sportage owners. I'm not saying that they're exact copies, but it's similarly styled to the third generation Sportage. Now, you get them in a couple of different trim levels, and you get it in the 1.6T GT line all-wheel drive, which is pretty much, I would say, the one to have. It's probably the top of the range, and it's got a couple of add-ons, ice cube fog lights, LED fog lights, and that really, really looks good. You get a 2-litre Ignite model, they call it, and then the 2-litre CRDI in an EX and SX trim. One's all-wheel drive and one's a slightly more entry-level spec. And then you've got the one that I was driving, which, sadly, I feel is the jock of the Bushveld.
Okay.
Bit of the run to the litter.
Oh, really?
The 2.4 GDI. Now, the 2.4 GDI is not a diesel.
Sure.
You would think with lettering like GDI, it would be diesel, but it's gasoline direct injection. So it's the tried-and-tested 2.4-litre naturally aspirated motor, and sadly, it just lacked that little bit of pep.
Okay.
So, you know, crossing
great on
an intersection.
Open road, but if you just need to get across the intersection very quickly,
intersection,
it's not going to give
and
you
it's
that.
A little bit, yeah, it's a little bit lazy. I mean, the gearbox works great. Seven-speed, it was just that little bit sluggish and with a little bit of a drinking problem. So did not get anywhere near their claimed figures,
really,
even on the open road and that. So and that's one of the curses of being up at the reef, up at altitude.
Yes.
You battle. With a naturally aspirated motor, you're going to battle to hit the manufacturer claimed figures. Okay. That is done at sea level. And it makes a world of difference. It really does make a world of difference on your fuel consumption. Yeah. So it was a little bit lazy. I mean, the figures read right. The figures read 135 kilowatts and 237 newtons. Mm. It just doesn't feel it. There's some of it lost in the drivetrain, in the 7-speed automatic gearbox. There's some of it lost in the all-wheel drive system. And then they go and they put, like, hill descent control on this with a center diff lock. And you're like,
sure.
That's all good and well, but I can promise you you're never going to use this.
Yeah.
You're going to use this when you go, you know, to watch your daughter ride horses or something, and you're driving on dirt road. You know, that's about it.
Yeah.
Or if you, you know, if there's
I don't think you're buying a Sportage to go like really heavy road.
No, there's a bit of ground clearance on it, but you're sitting there with these big 18 or optional 19 inch wheels, and you're like, those are geared for the road. They're not geared for off-road. So why do I have hill descent control? Why do I have,
with the road,
you know,
tires,
center lock? You know, that's a little unnecessary.
Do you think those have almost become like things that it's cool to have, so that you can tell people when bragging you buy the car, bragging rights? Like, it's got this and
because
it's got
it looks
that, it's got
nice.
That. I'm never going to use,
you know,
half
what the
stuff.
You know what the problem
is? At least it's there in case.
It's like a phone. I mean, a lot of people have got so many features and apps on their phones
but
that
they don't use half.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah, no.
Just to say that you got it. Oh, I've got the latest one. Oh, I've got Siri version, whatever, whatever.
And so what does it do? No, well, I make calls on it. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Started at 3310.
WhatsApp, and sent pictures of my
3310.
Cat.
Best phone ever.
To the internet, yeah. You know what the problem is? When you, in light of that, I've got hill descent control, HDC, and I've got hill hold, and I've got center locker differential.
It really helps me now.
Parking. You're sitting there bragging about that.
Yeah.
The layman that you're bragging to hasn't got a cooking clue.
Yeah.
And if you sit there and you're actually speaking to somebody who actually knows what they are, he's going to sit there and say, dude, you do know you're in a Sportage and it can't do any of those. They're going to know the difference. They're going to be like, dude, you're getting stuck. You're getting stuck at the first obstacle.
Yeah,
okay.
Go try.
Go try. Not on those tires. So a little bit of a confused car there. In that sense, sadly, there is a model that I wouldn't recommend, and that would be the 2.4. I wouldn't recommend it. Mm. It's a great vehicle.
Yes.
I just want it with a different motor.
Okay.
I want it with the diesel, and many of my colleagues have said the same thing. No, the diesel's the one to have. You know, go for that 2-litre diesel. It's going to give you slightly better fuel consumption. It's going to give you that low-down torque that you're looking for, and it's just a little better suited to this type of SUV.
Nice.
All right, well, retail on that one, I mean, that's the question that we all ask. Yeah, yeah. And it's competitive. I mean, it's right in there with the likes of the Tucsons and the Kadjars and the likes. Because of compact SUVs, that's where it's, I mean, that's the market that is being pitched at here. And we're sitting with 500 and call it 558 base price.
Okay.
So, but it comes pretty well spec'd. That's a nice thing. They are spec'ing their cars quite well, so that you don't have this massive options list, but it's fighting a hard fight up against a respectably spec'd VW Tiguan.
Okay, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So...
That's a car of the year finest.
That is a car of the year finest, yeah. Yeah. Now, this one may only qualify. I'll have to check the dates on that, but this one may only qualify for next year's running. Actually, I think it's missed it. It may not even qualify at all.
Interesting. And then the Qashqai's just a bit of a facelift, though. Tiny. One or two little...
Yeah, Qashqai's got a couple of little tweaks, and that's what I'm currently driving. And pleasant... I'm always so surprised by this vehicle, because it's also, of course, it's going up against Qashqai as well.
Yeah.
Well... To a slightly lesser extent, because these are a slightly higher price. Qashqai that I'm driving has got the real bulletproof 1.5 DCI motor. I mean, it's a motor that you've found in so many Nissan NPs. Renault has used it to death. Even Mercedes-Benz has used it in their 180 CDI motors or offerings in the A and B class. So really good motor. I'm always just so surprised at the way it's bolted together. It's just such a great all-rounder car. Mm. It looks good. It drives well. It is super quiet, huh? Fantastically quiet inside. So there's a lot of nice points, but that bulletproof motor is possibly also a little bit of a weak link there. When you're also in a little bit of a rush, it needs a couple of revs to get it out of the blocks when you've got the manual. You know, so you need to make sure that you can't just pull away on sort of idle. You're going to stall it.
Yeah.
And then I picked up an issue on the way in here with the auto stop start. It wouldn't re-engage.
Is it?
Yeah. So on a manual, when you've got the auto stop start, you'll put it into neutral and you take your foot off the clutch and it kills the motor.
Yeah.
And of course, sitting in a bit of traffic coming here to the studio, I was doing that, and then I put the clutch in and want to pull away, but the engine hasn't started back up again. I'm like,
yeah.
That's strange.
So you have to switch off and then switch on properly.
I'm going to have to investigate that. I'm not knocking it yet.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm just going to have to
work it out.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to check that isn't a little bit of a fault with this one.
But what I've also noticed with the stop start, I mean, you just have to nudge your steering wheel a little bit.
Mm.
And it kicks it back on again.
It will do that. Yeah. And if you sit there for long enough, your aircon will also trigger it.
Yes, yeah, that's so true.
What I like, the one system that I do really like is found on the Mazdas. You can brake and you can stop and the motor will keep running.
Mm.
But you push the brake a little bit harder and it switches off.
Oh.
So you just keep your foot pressed fairly firm.
That's actually quite
and it switches
good.
Off.
So you control that, huh?
Yes. Oh, okay. And as soon as you lift off a little bit, off the brake, mm-hmm. you're still braking. The car's not rolling, it'll start up the motor. So that motor's running by the time you touch that accelerator.
That's better, because you got the crawling traffic.
Yeah.
You don't,
yes, and you don't want it always stopping.
But now, Chad, what does this whole stop start in crazy traffic and it stop starts? What does it do to your starter, for instance?
It gives you a shorter lapse run. It is going to speed up the wear on it.
Yeah.
We'll speed up the wear on it. It's, I mean, they've engineered it so that it's got X amount in, and it shouldn't cause too much wear.
Mm-hmm.
People also sit there and say, okay, yeah, but now the oil's also settling. No, trust me, the car's coated. An engine needs to sit for half an hour or something to get that oil to drain away. And you're sitting there for a couple of seconds. It's very seldom over a minute, so you don't really need to worry about it too much. Yes, it can cause additional wear on the starter, but we haven't really picked up major problems, and stop-start technology has been around for quite a while. Very, very, very few reports of increased or unusual starter wear due to auto-stop start.
Yeah.
But could that not be the reason why sometimes it doesn't re-engage?
I wouldn't think so. No. I mean, it's not with these systems. If you've got an auto-stop-start system, the rest of the system is pretty robust as well, so not something to really worry about.
Right, chaps. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, so we're not going to get into our little tech segment. But what
mobility scooters?
The mobility scooter. So basically, what they wanted to say was that, like, the last 3 km of a journey, or if you're shopping, there's this now self-drive e-scooter that can, get you around a shopping centre. And I get that for, people who are disabled or the elderly and
but
stuff like
that.
But
it's not aimed at them.
But it's not aimed at them because they've almost
this
positioned
is, this
it
is
like,
just aimed at the lazy.
Yes.
So if you want to see what this is going to result in, and watch Disney's Wall-E again.
Yes.
With everybody sitting in those, not talking to each other.
Exactly.
That's exactly the way we're going here, folks.
Yeah. So anyway. Guys, it's been fantastic again. I hope you have an awesome week. Remember, it can wait. Stay off your phones on the roads. We are going into the festive season, so just be a little bit more vigilant. If you're going on holiday, make sure you're well rested.
Plan that route.
And plan that route. Use that. What's it? Sun what? Sun clip.
Sun calc.
Sun calc.
So it's sun calculator.
All right. So fantastic. Yeah, and then guys, join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA, and remember to use our hashtag AutoCentral. And from myself, Tyron, and the chaps in the studio.
Is that what you call us now, eh?
Yeah, the chaps in the studio. thanks for joining us on AutoCentral this morning. Have a great day.
Cheers, guys.
Ciao.
So, T, do you know that we host Motoring's biggest power hour?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that it's not just a show about cars, but it's a show that covers a host of relevant motoring topics?
Yes, I do.
And do you know that there are over 1 billion cars currently in use on Earth, and that the new car smell is composed of over 50 volatile organic compounds?
No.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning in to Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader. CliffCentral.com.